Good morning. It's 7:55 a.m. on the 28th, I think. Yes, 7:55 on Tuesday, October 28th. This is 30 degrees at the airport. It was 35 outside my house when I left this morning. It's a chilly morning. I'm wearing my parka and my fleece hood, and I'm still cold. My nose, she's cold, and it's running. So yeah, expect much sniffage, occasional sneeze. If that's problematic, you might want to tune out now. Yesterday was chore day. I didn't get a lot done in terms of progress, other than to go through and catch up on correspondence and stuff that I missed while I was away for the weekend. I handled some of it while I was down there because I had my netbook, but I couldn't deal with all of it, so there was some left over this morning, or yesterday morning. This morning is back into galleys with Zephyr's call. I'll get that one put together between today and tomorrow. I'm way off my schedule. I'm off by a couple days now, so I'm going to have to reschedule some stuff. And I'll do that, so we'll see how it works out. Yesterday's big discussion was with the Science Fiction Writers Association, SFWA, SIFWA. And there was a photograph taken of the SIFWA business meeting at Mile High Con, and Mem Moran, who's the coordinator for Cosine, asked the question, why isn't Nathan Lowell in this picture? And there are people who can make it, well, I don't know, why isn't he? So I wrote, he's not a member. Which led to a discussion of why wasn't I a member. And I don't think people quite realize, and the back and forth was basically, well, we're changing the rules so that indies can join. Well, indies can join now as second-class citizens, as non-voting members, as, what do they call it, associate members or something. I could join now for pay half the dues and be a second-class citizen. It's like, why? Why would I do that? What's in it? The famous question for me. And as a full-time writer, I can't afford to be a professional author, according to their definition. And I don't think SIFWA really understands, because they are so bedded with the publishers that they don't understand the size of the market. They just don't get it. So the idea that all I have to do is write a novel and sell it, really, yeah, well, if I write a novel and sell it to a publisher, I'll make a couple $1,000s. But I'll have to forego the income from that novel, any other novel in that franchise, and I have to be careful of do not compete clauses that would preclude me from publishing anything in any genre, in any universe, in any franchise, for a period of years. And frankly, that's way, way, way too expensive. And so I asked the question. I thought, okay, well, I might be a member if the rules change so that I can be a full participating member. But what's the role of membership organization in a world where instant global communication is possible, where connection with appears in the field is a couple clicks away. In the 50s, when 40s even before that, when the only way to collaborate with your peers was to travel to where they were and to participate in symposiums and conferences and conventions, because even a phone call across town could cost you a couple bucks. Yeah, that world has gone away. And the CIFWA people were quick to point out that it's not the only purpose of CIFWA, which I understand. They run Writer Beware, and they allegedly act as arbitrators between publishers and authors when there's a dispute. A service which, as a self-published author, is absolutely no value to me whatsoever. Allegedly, they're lobbying for changes in contract terms with publishers, but I'm not seeing the results of that lobbying evinced anywhere. There's a legal defense fund, there's a medical emergency fund, there's this group insurance. Group insurance might be worth it. I don't know. I have to see what their rates would be and what it covers. Particularly if my wife doesn't go back to work. She's still quite sick. I don't know. I think she's going to go back to work, but she's supposed to go back to work in January. And the closer we get to January, the more agitated she becomes. So maybe she will, maybe she won't. Don't know. But anyway, she's doing much better. I will say that. And she's improving mostly every day. But the idea of what's in it for me, it's like, why do I pay the dues? It's 90 bucks a year. Oh, I could probably pay for a lifetime membership. It's not, I don't think it's that much more. There is the opportunity to join CIFWA and help people understand what the world of indie publishing is really about. They read the, average only earns 500 bucks. The average, if you go by those numbers, the average mainstream publisher earns exactly zero. Not nearly zero, exactly zero. Because according to their own figures, only 1 in 10,000 makes it past the slush pile. Makes it to a publisher, makes it into print. And they don't provide any statistics on, of those, how many actually make it into bookstores. I'm guessing it's not a big number. It's probably better than zero. But we're already talking 1 in 10,000. When we add all of the zeros for 9,999 zeros, and then add even $10,000. That means, on average, well, I guess that is $1. They earn $1 on average. But that assumes that the one book that goes into publication actually earns, for the author, $10,000. And the reality is that when there was no competition from independent publishers, the average advance was $5,000. It's actually gone down now. Particularly for a new author, it's $5,000. And only 10 out of 100 sold that many books. 90% of them failed to earn out. They didn't earn their advance of $5,000, which means they didn't sell 5,000 units while the book was in print. So, you know, that average earnings number is... The problem with it is math. The problem with it is math, and that's that you cannot, you can't use tools like mean to describe distribution of data that is so heavily skewed toward one end. The shape that's described by book sales or movie sales or any of the other things like that. It's a power curve. It corresponds to the power law. The inflection point is around 20% of the top edge. So if there are 100 people, the top 20 are going to earn 80%. And it gets even more widely skewed. And of the top 20, the top two are going to earn 80% of everything above the 20% mark. So that means that everybody else in the curve, from number 21 on out to 100, earns way less. Because that's the nature of the long tail. That's what makes the long tail the long tail. And for traditional publishers, there is no long tail. If you publish with a traditional publisher, you don't ever get into the long tail. There is a power-shaped curve that goes along with it. But for all intents and purposes, the power curve for mainstream press chops off. If you're not selling at least some level, you don't get a second chance. You don't get another contract. You don't publish another book. You don't play the game. So I used to think that it got chopped off, but the reality is it doesn't. It's mathematically, it sort of hangs. Because there are people who are mainstream published that sell one or two or three or four or five or six a year or ever. There are books that ship a few hundred or a few thousand copies and then never sell anything more than that. Those authors need to change their name and start over. Or they need to take their book and publish it via indie. Publish it themselves. But that whole, the average earns statement is flawed from the beginning, because there is no average. The average, if you take all of the people in the long tail and average them you add the last person to the first person and you divide by two, and that'll give you a mean. That'll actually give you probably a more accurate mean. It might be skewed slightly toward the lower end. But the problem is that the shape of the curve, the nature of means, the nature of statistics and distribution, is that the average really only has importance. It's only really statistically significant if you have a relatively normal distribution, which the power law does not have. So all of this talk of the average this or the average that is kind of, it's flawed from the get-go, because it fails to take into consideration the underlying shape of the data. So yeah, we're back in the, okay, what are we going to do with this thing mode? So I'm interested to see what CIFWA actually decides they're going to do, and whether or not they're going to decide to open the doors to the great unwashed. And the problem is, of course, that they don't write short stories. Oh, they say, oh, well, just write 5 short stories and sell them in the approved markets, and then you can be a member. Or maybe it's 3 short stories now, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't write short stories. I have absolutely no interest in writing short stories. I'm not particularly good at it, so why would I do that? Why would I take short stories that I don't like and don't do well, and use that as an entree? What is the benefit to me for that? I don't have a good answer. Because frankly, I don't think SIFWA offers that much. For a writer like me, I don't believe SIFWA offers all that much. One of the reasons is that, for the most part, SIFWA members don't really seem to have much of a clue as to what is going on in publishing. They tend to listen to the mouthpieces. They tend to listen to the people with a vested interest in the established, and not necessarily assess the information that they're being given through a sieve of logic. That's a bit of a problem. Of course, it turns out, for the first time ever, I took a Myers-Briggs personality scale yesterday. And turns out that I'm INTP, which means I'm an analyst. I tend to look at things and tear it apart. I tend to look at things to see how they work. I tend to be logical, almost to a fault. Some would argue to a fault. There's no almost in there. So yeah, it's an interesting challenge. It's okay. How to make this case? How to make people understand? I still have trouble making people understand how Amazon works. When it's, you know, Amazon isn't just their name; it's their business model. How they put it right on the front door. How can you miss it? It isn't like it's a secret. And I guess there was a, where was it? Was it Salon, or was it, I don't know, Times maybe? The last few days there was a post, an article, an opinion piece about how Amazon lost, oh my God, 370 million, or 470 million in the last quarter. I was like, yeah, so? And so, of course, it had to do with Hachette sales, perhaps, having an effect, or the dispute with Hachette having effect on Amazon sales. During the same quarter, Amazon spent almost $1 billion buying things. And they paid cash for them. They didn't, you know, this is operating budget time. That's how this stuff works. So, yeah, it was like, really? You really believe this? Or is this just another hatchet job? I don't know. It's very curious. It draws this rather odd that the people who otherwise might actually have something on the ball seem to go out of their way to be a little bit dumb. I don't get it. Okay, crossing the street. I didn't get my lawns mowed yesterday. I'll have to wait till next Monday now. Oh. Yeah, I was pushing pretty hard. I wonder what my timing is like. Endomondo, 36 minutes, so 18, actually almost 19 minutes. Not great, but close enough. Because you know what I always say? Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.